Good morning, everybody, and special welcome to Hannah. I'm really blessed to be speaking to Hannah today as well. It's always lovely to see her. So the theme of this sermon, it's the second talk in a series of Ruddington Baptist Church's Verse of the Year. They will be called Oaks of Righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And we heard earlier in our reading, almost the same words, but said by God and not by Isaiah. They are the shoot that I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. So there is no doubting here who has done the planting. It is God. So what does this planting mean? Last week we heard Ed talk about jays and squirrels caching acorns for food, and obviously forgetting where some of them were. Well, the planting is not that. Webster's Concise Dictionary, which I looked up yesterday, called it putting into the ground to grow, placing firmly in position. And it's not that either, it's more than that. So when my father-in-law discovered that we were trying to improve our garden, and we thought of ourselves not as gardeners, but as maybe aspiring gardeners, novice gardeners, or whatever, and he realized that, he offered me a book about gardening. It's called the Royal Horticultural Society Encyclopedia of Plants and Flowers. And you need a degree in weightlifting to be able to shift it. It is massive. And I can only ever read it when I'm sitting at a table because you just can't hold it otherwise. And within it, it has any number of garden plants. And it gives you a brief description. It gives you the Latin name. It gives you a little picture of them. And it says to you whether they like sun or shade, whether they like frost, you know, whether they can stand frost, whether they're not hardy, whether they like waterlogged ground, whether they like acid ground, you understand the sort of thing, the size that they're going to be, so that you can decide where you want to plant these in your garden. And it was a book, so of course I wanted it, because in our house we've got a few walls that yet haven't got bookshelves on them. So it's a book, I want it. So I've got it, and I've looked at it and used it. But even so, this is not the planting that we're talking about here. This is not the nurturing that we're talking about. But it's a planting of the Lord that we're talking about here. And this planting is by somebody who is holy and righteous. And so the planting that takes place here by God will also be holy and righteous. The planting is a nurturing, and the righteousness that comes there is the gift of the Spirit of God. So God's Spirit is within that planting as well. It's much more than the planting and subsequent abandonment in the hope that there will be growth. This is God in there growing. It's even bigger than the love that a gardener would show his favourite plant by reading this encyclopedia bit and saying, yeah, I've got to plant it here. It's bigger than that. It's grown, it's growth with a purpose, and that growth is God's purpose. So, where have we been planted? Well, the song of Moses and Miriam, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea in Exodus 15, verse 17, says, you'll bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place the Lord made for your dwelling, the sanctuary your hands established. So where may that be? Well, Karen and I moved here 3.5 years ago. We believed and still believe that this was a response to a call of God on our lives. And We'd thought about and talked about moving, I don't know, but we were expecting to move 2 or 3 years later than we actually did, and that's when we planned to move. We had, or Karen had made a chance remark to somebody in her office that in a couple of years' time we might like to move up this way because her mum and dad were getting a little bit frail. We didn't try to make it happen, and we didn't hear any more about it. And then suddenly, it was a case of, well, you can move to Nottingham if you want to. This was in January, but you've got to be in there by August. So 8 months, 7 months to get a move sorted out. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was pushing it, but it was there. So we didn't try and make it happen. But obviously, we prayed about it and thought, yeah, we'll move. And things like house moves to us seemed pretty simple, really. We put our house on the market. 5 or 6 people came around to see it. We sold it within a month or so. The people who told us they were going to buy it bought it for the price that they were going to buy it for. We found a house here relatively easily. We found a church here very easily, thanks to Google. So we had a look, and thanks to Mother's Day, actually, because it was a Mother's Day when we came here first to Ruddington Baptist Church, and we got greeted by, I think it was a bacon sandwich, a copy of the Sunday Times, a newspaper. The Sunday Times, a bacon sandwich, a cup of tea, and a conversation with Derek. So I've given up taking the Sunday Times now. I don't drink any more coffee, but I still love talking to Derek. But it was easy for us to feel that God had directed us here and had planted us here, and 3.5 years on, the memory of that is still there with us, so it still encourages us as we go along that we've been planted in Ruddington. But I guess it's a lot harder for people to feel planted if they've been here all their lives, or if they've been here for 25 or 30 years. And when we've been here for 25 or so years, and I'm intending to stay, I don't know about Karen, we might have that conversation a bit later, but it will probably feel less immediate to me as well. And our situation is fairly gentle, shall we say. But some people have much more difficult situations than we do. But God is still there nurturing them in that planting. And God is still there with them. But of course, it's not just about being planted in the village. It's being planted in other places as well. And we are planted in a church. We are planted in a school. We are planted at work. Some of us are. We are planted at Renew. We are planted at Rub at the Hub, the Honeycomb, small groups. And our purpose is to grow. And our purpose is also to display God's splendor where we are planted. And there isn't a better example of that. The sermon's really over after we've heard the interview that Jacob gave today. Because there is no better way of illustrating God's splendor than what we heard from Jacob today. It's fantastic. And the good news is, and the reason it's so good is because the splendor is not ours. The splendor is God's. And what that means is that we have to be ourselves. We don't have to have any special abilities. We don't have to be particularly good at things. We don't have to have loads and loads of certificates. I've lost most of mine anyway. But we don't need those things. We need to be ourselves, because it's not our splendor that we are displaying where we are. It's God's splendor. Again, coming back to Moses, he was a man with no confidence who needed his brother to speak before Pharaoh and argued with God quite a lot about, you know, what he could and couldn't do. But I just want to read to you Exodus 34, starting at verse 29. And this is when Moses has been up Mount Sinai and he's got the tablets with the Ten Commandments from God. And this is what is said. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back and he spoke to them. That's enough, really. But what I'm saying there is that you may be displaying God's splendor and you may be the only person who doesn't know that you are. You're there, Moses has come down, his face is absolutely radiant and he doesn't know. He hasn't got a clue about it, but everybody else can see it. And we probably all know people whose faces are radiant. And if you ask them, they probably wouldn't know about it either. So, he was the only one who couldn't see the splendor of God in that case. And we may be radiating God's splendor and be the only one that can't see that. So we've been planted in many, many places to show God's splendor. But also we've been planted to grow. Because that's what plants do. So if we have a look at verses for the year, if we have a look at last year's verse for the year, for instance, we were talking about a house built on a rock. We had firm foundations. We were there consolidating our faith, standing against rain, all that sort of stuff. But the thing about the house on the rock is it's there, it's set. It's going to be firm against it, it's consolidated, but it is not going to get bigger and bigger. This year, we are a tree planted in ground with the blueprint to grow already in it. So this is not a year of consolidation for this church. This is a year of growth for the church. So I've got the verse for the year here to show you, and I've got the picture to show you as well. And you'll all see it. And it's not really even the full splendor of an oak tree that we can see. We can just see the branches, a trunk, a few branches here. And if we were to expand that out so we could see all that was above ground, we would see a magnificent tree. But the general rule with trees is there is as much below ground as there is above ground, and that is the roots of the tree. And we don't notice the roots often unless we trip over them, and I am an expert in tripping over. And an expert in tripping over tree roots. So above is the splendor and the outward projection of the tree, and below is the roots, the church or the individual spirituality. So what I'm going to suggest is that in this analogy is that outwardly, outside this church, is the trunk and the leaves of this tree. And our own spirituality, our own growth is the roots. And they have to be in harmony and balance. You cannot have a large root system that doesn't have a large trunk. Because the roots are nurtured from all the nutrients that are provided in the leaves of this tree that go down there to allow the root system to develop and grow. and the roots actually produce the water, the minerals and all that that they absorb from the soil and allow the tree trunk and that to grow as well. So these things must grow in balance. And as the tree gets bigger, the roots have to get bigger. So what this means for us in our growth is that if we want to grow our church and be outward looking and be planted outside in the community, we have to grow our individual spirituality and grow our own relationships with God as well. And they have to be in balance. There we are. So we can't show God's splendor merely in Ruddington Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, because we're not only planted there, we're planted in other places. As I sort of have a quick look round away from the notes now and have a look at the church and things like that, I can see out quite well here, and I can see if there were anybody walking along the street, which there isn't at the moment, I would be able to see them. There he is. Yeah. I can see people moving outside, but I doubt that they can see in and see us. So we need to be visible in the community. And we need to do that not on a Sunday morning here. We need to do that outside in the community. This is a place for building ourselves together, being roots. Out there is a place for being the trunk and the branches of the tree. So very quickly, what's God's splendor going to look like? Well, we read that in the first three verses. And for me, it's interesting that in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus gets a chance in the synagogue, that's the text that he preaches on as well. So he is preaching on setting captives free, etc. Let's just read a bit of it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And there's no better example of what God's splendor looks like and what we should be doing if we are planted in the community and we are there to show God's splendor. So in order to be visible in the community and to seek to impact on community, and for instance with the mental health of the community by, say, Renew Spaces, by other initiatives, we need to be three P's there are: present, in partnership, and prayerful. This is the sort of Renew doctrine of it all. Present and available where people are. Not in here, but out there. Practicing five ways to well-being, not being different from people, but being welcoming where they are and how they are. Being with people will allow us to see where problems are and where we can help. But we do need to be out there to do that. And how and where we get out there and what we do will be an important aspect of the stuff that we're going to be looking at on the Church Vision Day. So now is the time to be thinking about what we want to be doing as a church this year. It ain't good enough to wait until the Vision Day, because we've got 2 or 3 weeks now to do other things, and that is to be prayerful and to be in partnership. So some of the things we've got to think about being present are: how can we grow Renew when the Black Cat Cafe is full every Wednesday afternoon? And some may be discouraged from entering because of the noise or lack of seating. We can't get anybody else in. How are we going to grow Grub at the Hub when we're full and people are on a waiting list? we rely on people not being able to come every month, really, to be able to accommodate all those that would like to. Something else for the Vision Day. How can we transform the honeycomb? How can we grow in other ways in the community? Because this is what we're planted for. So these are questions for God and the local community. And that's part of the partnership. The partnership as well will be with God as well as with other people within the community. So we need to prepare and we need to seek God now and his plans prayerfully and in partnership. And we need to be in partnership as well with all the local mental health professionals, doctors, also in partnership with the businesses, parish council and others, particularly to establish good relationships with them, find out where we can help them, where they can help us, and not be afraid of going into partnership with them, possibly to be involved in the Young Person Centre as things are moving on there with the parish council. We need to have these discussions, and by partnering, we can find out what the need is in the village and seek to meet it in this way. Above all, we need to be prayerful. We need to establish rhythms of daily prayer surrounding all that we do in prayer. In Renew, for instance, we pray at the start in the hub, we pray at the end in the cafe. And we need to be mindful that everything we do needs God's direction. We need to pray continually about that, to find God's will, to be in partnership with the Lord and to know his plans for this village. And finally, we need to take encouragement from the last verse of Isaiah 61, which says, "For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations."